Hello everybody, this is the translation of the message for Sunday the 26th of January. Jesus declared, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Matthew chapter 18 verse 20. Is it a reality? Physical, metaphysical, spiritual, in spirit? Jesus is resurrected. If he died, he is also resurrected. What great news! Ephesians chapter 4 verse 10. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. He descended. He ascended. Yes, but after descending to the lowest. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 9. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? What is it? Where is it? Into the lowest parts of the earth? In caves, underground? Caves with water or caves reaching the magma in the lowest regions of the earth? Or under the seas, the oceans with depths of 4,000, 5,000 metres, with a fault at 11,000 metres? Where did Jesus descend? Jesus descended into the abyss of darkness to take us out of it, to pay in our place the weight of our debt, the weight of our sins before God. Psalm chapter 22, verses 14 to 16. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, it has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. On the cross, Jesus descended to the deepest depths that he could, to the deepest depths possible, to destroy all our enemies who had become his enemies. First, our enemies who stuck to our skin. Our nature as sinners, taking it upon himself, for himself, on his own account before God, to destroy it on the cross. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Jesus died in my place, in your place. It is you, it is I, who had to be on the cross, but with no hope of coming alive. It is he who substituted himself for me, who placed himself before the justice of God in my place, in my name, who took the just sentence so that my capacity to sin and to be rebellious towards God would be judged. It is he who received the retribution by a just judgment that I could never have borne. Our sins, our accumulated debt, he took them upon himself in advance, to erase them from before God, who is three times holy. How? By agreeing to place himself before God and to bear the judgment of God on our sins, to destroy them, to burn them, to consume them. He was able to achieve this because he is holy without sin. But through what sufferings he went through, so that he would not have to go, so that we would not have to go through divine judgment, so that we would not be consumed with our sins. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Death. The wages of our sins is death. Romans chapter 6 verses 21 to 23. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. By entering into death, by agreeing to give his spirit to the Father and to leave his body, he, as the Son of Man, agreed to pass through death, he the living one. he left this shell that he had taken inanimate on the cross. Then he let his inanimate body be moved to a tomb, and he came out alive, resurrected, victorious. It was impossible for him to see corruption. Acts chapter 13, verse 35. So it is also stated elsewhere, you will not let your Holy One see decay. By the eternal Spirit, Jesus is risen, leaving death empty of himself. It could not hold him. And after him, he brings to the resurrection all those who trust in him, all those who believe that Jesus died for them on the cross, all those who repent of their own sins and who believe that Jesus saves us from our low state and makes us holy before God. Not by our behaviour, but by his action before God. Future resurrection, yes, but resurrected already, we who were dead in our trespasses and sins. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. The worst enemy, Satan himself, the ancient serpent, the tempter, the proud one, the fallen archangel, the one who imagined, desired to surpass God, the liar from the beginning, the leader of this world, Jesus was not baited by him. Satan tempted him, but he found no hold on Jesus, no hold. Jesus, in the form of a man, put him back in his place, by the word of God, animated by the Spirit of God. Then Jesus triumphed over him in public, before men, Jews, Greeks, Romans, foreigners from different countries, and especially before God his Father, and before the thousands of angels who serve him, as well as before the rebellious and fallen angels. Jesus defeated him in his form of absolute humility, in the form of a man, humiliated and attached, nailed to the cross. Jesus, the victorious, the Lamb of God, who is the Lion of Judah, the Saviour, the Lord. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Yes, if he died, he was also raised. He was exalted to the right hand of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 34 to 35. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? There you have it. Now it is accomplished. It is finished. John chapter 19, verse 30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jude chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and for evermore. Amen. Wow, it is all done. It is all accomplished. What happiness, what joy, what peace. God wanted worshippers who worship him in spirit and in truth. It is done. Jesus accomplished it. God wanted a bride for his son. It is done. She will be manifested before him in the Father's house. God wanted children, but not spoiled children, born with a golden spoon in their mouth. No, he wanted children who realize what love is. It is done. Jesus, the only Son of God, the manifestation of God in the form of man, in our midst has shown us what divine love is. Everything is accomplished. So now, then, while waiting for the total manifestation of his glory, what is left for us to do? What does he expect of us? If I said nothing, it would not be fair because it is not complete. If I said works, it might not be fair. If it is to give us back the right to exist without Jesus, or lead us on a path of self-righteousness, or even a religious path of self-satisfaction. But I will stop there because it would take an entire sermon to talk about it in a meaningful and sufficient way. That will be for another time, if you wish. So to conclude, I would say that what God expects of us is one thing, one unique thing. It is to let his Son Jesus live in us. It is letting the resurrected one live and act in us and among us. It is opening the door to Jesus, of course, the door of our heart, so that he may renew this new heart that he gave us the day we believed in him. But also by opening the door of our body to him, our little intelligence submitted to his spirit, our entrails so that he may charge them with mercy, our hands, our feet, a service, our whole body to be nothing less than the dwelling place of God through the Spirit. Can you imagine the program? Wow! What would we like to do alongside him? What more could we do? Nothing, except to let him do it in us and between us. We read at the beginning of these moments, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10, he who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe, that he might fill all things. Because yes, my brothers and sisters, if Jesus told us that where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst, it is not an extra physical meeting, or even less a metaphysical or extra sensory session, or even less spiritualism. We are in agreement. We agree. No, of course not. That is not it. It is no longer the prerogative of two or three who would consider themselves sufficiently pure and worthy by conduct to have the honour of the presence of Jesus in person. No. And I denounce here a false doctrine of a Christian environment because it turns out to be false and sectarian, which indoctrinates souls to believe that in the midst of their groups alone there would be the presence of Jesus, and that the other Christians who are not of their group would not benefit from this blessing because they are not faithful enough. They are too mixed with the Christian world and the world in general. No, because in this way they reduce the grace of God, this grace that Jesus brought, gave his life for all of us on the cross. Who gathers in the name of Jesus? Well, they are those who respond to his call to be together because of him and for him. It is not us who are important in history, it is him, and it is his Father. And this is what is still extraordinary in the realization made by Jesus, is that even if we do not realize this stripping of ourselves 100%, who would dare to say that he realizes it entirely? Even if we are still existing and alive in us, with our weaknesses, our self, our ego, our misplaced acts, our disturbing thoughts, our old capacity to sin which follows us in spite of ourselves, well, the grace of God made that Jesus comes to live with us anyway. What grace? Everything is from him. It is quite simply, if I may say so, it is quite simply the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. Is the reality of the presence of Emmanuel, God with us. Do you realize God with us? It is quite simply the reality of his divine life. He who died for us, for me, he is alive, he lives. It is the clear manifestation of his presence in us. And when we are more than one, when we are several, to have let Jesus save us, to have experienced that Jesus lives in us, well, his Spirit gives us to have Jesus in connection between us, to experience that he connects us to each other, and this well before the invention of Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. Well before the invention of 3G, 4G and 5G, well before. We are connected to God. Jesus connects us to him and thus to each other by the Spirit of Jesus. What a marvel. What a success. What a perfect functioning. Our responsibility, individually and together, not to interfere, otherwise there will be static on the line. Let him act. Let him act alone by the eternal Spirit, the same Spirit by which he could say, I and the Father are one. John 10, verse 30. It is this Spirit who connects us to God the Father, who also connects us to each other. Do you realize? By Jesus, resurrected and living in us and among us, to the glory of God the Father, from now on and for eternity. Amen.